early 1960s, at any given time, the British would have had 90 guys wintering.
Wintering. That's all the equipment, all of the supplies, the boats, the ships, everything to get them down there to actually physically winter. Do they have reunions of all you people?
Yes.
Very special people, after all.
Well, look, the Australians are in the same situation. Mm. They've got the guys
Inari down there.
And their people are going, where are we now? Oh, yes, they've started going in there.
That's a
funny thing. I was reading a web page from the base leader, today's base leader at Halley Bay, and he... A few weeks ago, he was saying, well, we're looking forward to the first plane arriving next week.
The plane.
Now, we waited until January, till the ship got in.
I know.
But the first plane.
This is what we're now talking about with the Antarctic Peninsula, that they're going to be flying from Ushuaia over to the Antarctic Peninsula. Mm. We will no longer be having ships crossing Drake's Passage.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Absolutely extraordinary. We're going into a whole new era.
I don't want to go back because of that.
I know, it'll spoil it.
This guy, Harry Agger, first name there, it was Harry who has been down there to Base F.
Has he?
Yeah, some years ago. He and his wife went down, and he's told me that the snows are seeded way, way back from what we knew there. And I think Harry is sort of, well, it didn't seem the same. I must tell him that I'll email him tonight.
Yes, you might find that. I think the connections are there if you can spend the time emailing each other and connecting with each other. Mm-hmm. And are you able to contact most of them? Are the ones that are left?
What, of my era?
Of your era.
There's a web page called Zfids.
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 Yes.
Because all the bases, the peninsula bases, had alphabetical letters, but Halley Bay didn't. See, Halley Bay wasn't built for the British Antarctic Survey. It was built by the Royal Geographical Society for the International Geophysical
Year
in 1956. And then it was handed over to British Antarctic Survey, who continued it ever since.
And that's why it was called Halley Bay.
Yeah.
And never got an initial, the alphabetical list.
Yeah, then it's got
Z fixed
on it now. Mm. It's not known as Halley Bay now. I always call it Halley Bay. It's known as Halley because the bay, that ice bay, broken off long ago.
It's gone.
The hut that I knew, gone long ago.
It's a constantly moving, living thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you must feel immense pride in the fact that you were there and what you've contributed to the history of Antarctica? I mean, there is really something.
I wouldn't have put it like that. I'm very proud that I was down there. I just feel so fortunate that I was able to go down and do
what you
things that we did. I mean, that was what was done in those days. That's the way life was there. I'm in no way envious of the guys going back there now.
It would... you can't conceive that it's the same place with the hardships that you went through. Do you remember...
But they weren't hardships.
They weren't hardships to you, I know.
That was the way life was.
I think the question that comes to me is, how did you ever cope with the cold? But you tell me you weren't that cold.
Well, you were at times. I mean, I felt very cold.
I mean, what about frostbite? You must have got frostbite.
Yeah, but I got one bad dose of frostbite, and that was before we went into this long trip. We went out locally from the base to give some practice to the guys who were new to it all, to how to set up a tent, how to...
How to wait down the sides.
And somehow I was with the dog going along, and my sleeve got caught up and I got frostbite all around here. A big blister came up. Really.
Does it take long to come up?
No, it's a bit like a burn.
You knew straight away what it was.
I looked at it and knew, yeah, just white. And came up. And it's quite painful, very much the same as a burn.
Hmm.
And it took some years before I completely got over it, because it was always susceptible to heat.
Sunburn. Any sort of heat.
Anything like that. But now it's gone. But the sunburn, the frostbite that you would get on would be on the nose around here. Ears, because they were covered.
But here, the end of the nose and the moisture in the nose. How did you cope with that?
Not moisture in the nose. No, that I've never had that. But you'd certainly get it on the cheeks. But you would... When we were actually moving in sledging, you'd be, because you never got on the sledge. I mean, the dogs couldn't pull you as well as manage all what they had to.
So what did you do?
Ski marching. We'd have my hand would be on the handlebar at the back of the sledge, and a rope coming back to me that I'd hold on, and ski marching. And giving encouragement, pushing with the dogs, and my companion would be on that side doing the same thing.
And ski marching is like cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
And you're basically...
I can't ski in the...
You can't downhill ski.
No.
But
no.
You can cross-country ski.
Oh, yeah, I can.
That's like walking to you.
Yeah. But you, when you knew it was that cold, you... keep a check on your partner's cheeks and that, and you say on your cheekbone, and just get your glove out, a hand out, and
hold it against
it. And just warm it up, you're okay. And you might lose some skin off it, but
that was all.
That's all.
Did you find that the moisture in your eyes froze?
No.
Because you usually would have had a hat to hear and a scarf to hear.
Well, you usually have goggles on.
Goggles as well. And snow blindness, was that a problem?
It's only if you didn't wear your goggles, and you always wore your goggles.
Always wore those. Did you have any injuries while you were down there?
No. And we were basically a very healthy lot.
You must have been incredibly healthy. No viruses.
No viruses, no.
Bugs except, couldn't live in the cold.
Except you got a cold as soon as the new blokes came onto base.
They brought all the bugs with them.
They brought a different strain in, and you could just about guarantee
the whole lot would get come down with it.
You'd all get colds, and it's even happened. We were about my second winter, I think, and we got a cold, and we attributed it to somebody had sent down last year's supply of the Sunday Times.
Mm-hmm.
And we reckon it came down in the newspaper, because we'd get one out each Sunday.
That's right, to read them, to give you something to do.
And we reckon one of them had bugs on it. Could have been, but suddenly, in the middle of winter, we all
you
got
this cold.
Mm.
And the whole lot of you came down.
Well, a group of us did, yeah.
Mm. Now, there was a record that you broke. What was the record for?
The travelling.
Was it the travelling distance and the time? What was it,
both.
Patrick?
Certainly from that base, we were out for 218 days. That was a record. No, nobody else has been out that long.
Even to today?
Oh, yes.
Even
they're out for much less time now, because they can get there quickly and get back quickly. We travelled 2,500 kilometres in total.
In that time.
All the dogs did.
Did those dogs all survive after that night, that extraordinary excursion?
One of them died on the way home.
He did.
Jack. He just couldn't go on, and so.
And it wasn't for the lack of food. They did have food, but it was the condition.
But he was an older dog, and he was had a bit of arthritis in any case. But then he just couldn't
carry on that sort of work.
So he didn't make it back.
Was there rubbish? Did you leave rubbish behind?
Yep.
Aha.
Yep. Everything.
Everything got left behind.
We didn't take anything back with us.
So what did you do? Bury it? Did you leave it? Well, there's no point in burying it, because as soon as the summer came, it'd be uncovered.
No, it'd be covered in, and it's buried in the snow and never to be found again. But that wasn't a consideration. So
in those days.
Even on the base, we would have runs to a rubbish dump, two, 3 miles away from the base site itself, and we cart all this stuff over in packing boxes and all sorts of stuff, and we'd have a big bonfire out there. And we'd burn it.
Logically. Give you warmth. You'd be warm.
We'd make a bit of a party of it.
Logical to do that,
but
yes.
But that's not acceptable today.
No, not today.
We didn't think about any rubbish. You just left it all behind.
Well, the dogs, I should imagine, would clean out any tins. They would lick them out.
Well, we would give them. There was more butter in the rations than we could
use.
So we would cut that into chunks and give it to them. We wouldn't let them have tins, because you don't know if they're going to cut themselves.
Oh, that's true. So, yes, of course. Yes.
But anything like that.
Hmm. Did you take down on that expedition, that long one where there was only you and Jeff, did you go out with cards and games or anything? Any entertainment at all? No. Not a thing. Not even a book.
Oh, we had some books, yes.
What were your books, please?
The fattest ones on the bookshelf. They were. It was volume, not quality.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you tell me the books?
No, I can't think of anything. Some of them are terrible books, but there was probably some classics in there as well. I've been in my day a great reader of Dickens, but I don't think I took any Dickens out. No, I can't think of anything.
If you look at your life, do you feel that this was by far the highlight of it, this period? Or do you feel that it was the highlight of your life?
It is a highlight. Then I think, how can I compare that with my life with my wife?
It's just different, isn't it?
It is.
It's a highlight, but it's just different. Mm-hmm. You've been very, very privileged.
Oh, I know that. I know that, especially in these latter years with Pat and the family.
Yes. And you enjoy good health?
Yes, I do.
That's another good thing that's come out of it. Mm-hmm. And when you were down there in Antarctica, did you talk much about the previous explorers like Mawson and Shackleton? And Scott.
We were well aware of them. We had the literature on base, and I'd read a lot of it there. I've got a pretty good library at home now.
Right, I imagine you have.
We were aware, and look, we were in awe of what they achieved and how they survived.
I couldn't agree more.
We didn't ever attempt to compare ourselves with them. I mean, they were.
Do you know how they did
giant,
it?
Giants.
They were absolutely. I can't conceive of what they did.
No.
and Shackleton, every one of them were extraordinary men, extraordinary leaders.
Shackleton's my
hero. Yeah, he's mine too. Yeah. He even beats Mawson to me.
Mm. Mawson was a very severe man.
Mm. He didn't have the... Shackleton is...
The leadership that Shackleton had.
Mm. Shackleton was... Those men would have followed him to the ends... Mm. And they did. They followed him to the ends of the earth.
Mm. Mm.
And, yes, he's certainly my hero.
Mm.
Anything else that we haven't covered, Patrick?
I'm lost.
No?
No. I said, I've no idea how long I'm going to be.
No, it's your life.
Yeah.
And in one day, we've covered your life. Mm. It's a lot easier than writing a biography, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Patrick, it's been a real joy.
Thank you so much. I'm filled with it.
Mm, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed hearing it. It's been lovely. What I plan on doing with this now is I'll take it and put it all onto discs. I've got to wait till the forms arrive from the British website. Yeah. When I get those, I'll send those off to you. If you've given me your address... if we can just put your address on there, that's probably the best idea. If I've got your address, then I can forward the forms on to you.